All right. Hey there. Good morning, Kings Park Raleigh. So glad to be together again today, meeting in our homes, wherever you may be actually in your dorm. We have a few precious international students that are still in their dormitory. So we're glad and so happy to be able to come into your house this morning, just together to meet virtually, to consider just the more noble themes of God in this hour, up against the backdrop of this pandemic that we're in. And I believe that corporately together, we're going to stand in faith and grow in grace and really go deep in our walk with God and deep in our walk with one another, actually, in this hour. And so I want to begin today as we encourage each other, really, during this fireside chat, because I know many of y'all are talking and many of you are connecting with one another. I just want to leave us with the idea today that God, I believe, is sovereignly giving us a divine reset in this moment, a reset in how we relate with Him and how we relate with others, a reset in our priorities, a reset in those things we deem to be important, maybe even a reset in our marriages, in our families. Again, certainly our priorities and what we deem to be essential and important in this moment. And I don't know if you've noticed, well, actually you have, that many of our lowercase g gods have just gone away, just poof, they're just gone. Whether the NBA or whether the NCAA, March Madness, the ACC tournament, I mean, ouch, that really cut me kind of deep. I feel like the donkey on Shrek. You cut me real deep on that. Took me a few days to mourn, to get over that. But just our normal routines, they're gone, you know, going to a restaurant, dining in, or going to the theater to see our favorite movie. But spring sports, baseball, hockey, Broadway plays, even our beloved Disney World is not open in this time. And so we know that we're in Kansas when Mickey closes the door. So we don't have those normal go-tos to get our dopamine hit, you know, that neurotransmitter, that feel-good sense that we have as we enjoy certain things in our world. And we are to enjoy. God has given us these things in the world to enjoy, but we're to worship the Creator and just remember that these are lesser things not to derive life from. So we learn, I think, in these moments just how dependent we are. And all these things I listed, I certainly enjoy, and they're all good things, but they're not ultimate things. So I think it's good just to differentiate what's a good thing versus what's an ultimate thing. Good things are fine, but it's not something ultimate that gives us life and breath. And so that's part, I believe, of that reset that God is really just honing in. What's important during this hour? What's important during this season? We'll be able to return to some of those things at another time, but I believe God is helping us in this moment to really go deeper, to restructure priorities. Those things are important. So I believe that by the finger of God, He's given all of us just a reset to begin to recalibrate the values in our lives. And for the first time, I guess you notice people are starting to question issues and themes of even mortality, realizing that we only have maybe 7, 8, 9, some may have 10 decades on this earth, and we realize it really is a brief period of time that we're here. But for the believer, our encouragement is this world as we know it, this is as bad as it gets. But for the unbeliever, sadly, this is as good as it gets, because we know that there is a world to come, namely heaven. So considering these nobler themes is a good thing during this period. Taking inventory is a good thing. Inventory of our marriage, inventory of our family, inventory of just what we deem valuable in life, and to really recalibrate and to make sure our alignment is where it needs to be. I'm just sorry that it takes a pandemic sometimes for us to come to these conclusions of really embracing weightier themes other than what am I going to wear to the party tonight. So many build their lives on fluff. Many build their lives on an air bubble. But things are here today. Things are gone tomorrow. And we're in a shaking right now. And that's okay. A shaking is not a bad thing because only the eternal things remain. But we were promised in Hebrews and through the prophet Haggai that God was going to shake everything that could be shaken. And only that which is eternal would remain. So for those of us that read our word, we know this is not a surprise. God said he's going to shake the nations. And that's not a bad thing. It's purifying the people of God. It's purifying the church. It's allowing us to have a reset in this moment to put some things in order, maybe points of obedience that we know we've been called to that we've really not given ourselves to yet. And so this is merely a trial run, as you were. It's kind of a pop quiz or a dress rehearsal. This is not the big one, but God has given us some time, I believe, to put a few things in order. And I think that's a good, good thing. I believe he's given the nations a chance for a do-over or a mulligan for you golfers out there. We have a gift of time to put some things, I believe, in order. And oh, that the church would cry out. And oh, that the people that don't know the Lord yet would even lift their cry. Maybe they don't know exactly how to pray, but God will hear anything. I mean, one of the greatest prayers, I believe, is just, God help. You know, show me. If you're there, reveal yourself and direct me and lead my family. So it opens people up to the things of the Lord in this hour. And that is certainly a good thing. The prophet Isaiah said that God longs to be gracious to those who cry out to him. He's a good God. He's a merciful King. And he longs to be gracious to us. Many of us are familiar with a famous text out of 2 Chronicles 7:14 that declares, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. Oh, do we need that right now? The healing of our land. I mean, what a promise. God said that if we do those things that are prescribed, that he would heal our land. Again, heal our land. That's weighty. That's meaty. I mean, do we not all agree that right now the land needs some much needed healing right now? So I believe 2 Chronicles 7:14 is a national recipe that God is giving us. That if we humble ourselves, that if we pray, that if we seek his face, that if we turn from our wicked ways, he'll act. He'll step in. It's like God says, you do this, I'll do that. You be faithful with my prescription, and I will show myself powerful on your behalf. If you honor me by going heavenward, I will honor you by coming down in power and fixing that which only I can remedy. So it's an issue of obedience. It's an issue of trust. It's an issue really for the church to rise up in this hour and embrace the precedent we find in Scripture and the decrees and to take them to heart, to reset, to do those things that he's given us all along. And it's addressed to if my people, referring to the church, to come into alignment, to refocus for purposes of purity and even purposes of repentance. And so I believe that 2 Chronicles 7:14 is the winning ticket in this hour. And it's right before us in black and white. But you know what's really amazing when you read Scripture? As you know, in many things, context is everything. Context rules. And so words have meaning in sentences. Sentences have meaning in paragraphs. Paragraphs biblically have meaning in letters or books of the Bible, etc. And so when we just read verse 14, which is powerful, but you always want to read the verses above and the verses below for context. But if we were to back up into verse 13, it talks about the rain being withheld. It talks about the locusts that devour the land, and it talks about a plague coming onto the land. And then it cuts into, if my people who are called by my name. So that's interesting. The backdrop in the context was drought, locusts devouring the land, and a plague coming onto the land. Then therefore, if my people will humble themselves, if they'll turn from their ways and seek my face, God promises to step in. So it means that we've got something to do with the healing of the land. We've got something to do if we'll just receive and discern this holy reset that God has given us right now in this hour. And so that's the backdrop. And so we have something to do to help the breaking in of the Lord. And I believe if we do this, God will pour out His Spirit. I believe that if we pitch our tent, that God's going to break in a great way. And I think we all should just live for that visitation for the Lord. I believe we should lean in and pray for an awakening and for revival in these days, for God to step in and do what only God can do, to pour out His Spirit. You know, revival means to revive, to bring something back to life that was formerly dead. There's a story in the 1800s of a businessman in New York City named Jeremy Lanpier. And he was really burdened about the apathy of New York City. And people had just turned to greed and materialism, and they were getting away from the church. And he was deeply concerned and marked by the indifference and the apathy. And he had a burden for business people, but he knew that business people are busy people. But he had the idea. He said, I'm going to put in play a prayer meeting during the 12 noon lunch hour. And maybe these business leaders on their break would be willing to come together and just seek God during just that 1 hour or that 45 minutes. And so he passed out some leaflets around the city in New York City. And there were people in the marketplace that began to come in on their lunch hour, but it really was little by little. It was just a trickle. But then on October 10th, 1857, the stock market crashed, and then financial panic struck America. Banks folded, railroads went bankrupt, factories closed. Sound familiar? And unemployment skyrocketed. But within 6 months of that condition and that backdrop, 10,000 people were gathering in the city for prayer. Isn't that amazing? Against the backdrop of that darkness and that challenge, there was a reset. There was a reset on what's important. There was a reset on what is truly valuable in life. And through his meager lunchtime prayer efforts, a prayer revival hit New York City. It was awesome. I encourage you to read about it. And so not only was it a prayer furnace and a prayer revival, but it resulted in an actual revival as many as 1 million people were converted or either renewed. And it went out even into other cities. And the major news outlets, the newspapers of the day, were following this phenomenon. And this prayer furnace even made its way as the impetus to the 1904 Welch Revival. You can even trace that to the 1906 Azusa Street Revival in Los Angeles. And it was said to be the first revival in America that had worldwide impact. Worldwide impact. I mean, it spread to Ireland, to Scotland, to Wales, to England, to Europe, to South Africa, to India, to Australia, and the Pacific Islands. all because a businessman was wanting to pull a few business leaders to pray during the lunch hour because America had grown so spiritually indifferent, and he had a burden for his beloved New York City that had grown so apathetic. But it's a "if my people" issue. If my people, if my people. A few trickled in the beginning, but then it began to slowly grow, and a national shaking hit. Then people woke up. When the shaking hit, people woke up. Hear this. When the shaking hit, people woke up. Have we awakened yet during this shaking? You know, during 9/11, a lot of people woke up in that hour unto spiritual realities. That was another reset historically. But even with those people that woke up, there were others that hit the snooze button and went back to sleep. We don't want to hit the snooze button and go back to sleep. Business is normal. No, no, no. This is a reset to put some things in place that maybe have not been in place. Maybe there are things you know God's calling you to, but you've not yet taken that step through the threshold. There's an area of obedience. There's an area of lordship. Maybe you're listening and you don't know the Lord yet, and you've been putting it off. When I get older, when I get settled, when I get married, when I make my fortune, when I get this, then I'll begin to consider spiritual things then. Well, I want to encourage you, this is that hour to begin to consider these loftier themes of life. Don't hit the snooze button. This is our reset moment to begin to align afresh with what God wants for us, to humble ourselves, to pray, to seek His face, and to turn from our wicked ways. So in the 1850s in New York City, a prayer spark against the backdrop of hard times. It lit a fire that went around the world. Question: could it happen again? Answer: if my people. Could it happen again? Would God move again? Well, if my people. So you see, in large measure, we're in the driver's seat. If we'll do this, God will do that. If we obey, God will break in and He'll honor His word. So we all have time right now, it seems, on our hands. What to do? Crisis creates new paradigms. What are we going to do with all this new time that we have? We can look at church differently. We can look at our communities differently. We can look at outreach differently. But what are you learning during this time, with all this time you have on your hands? What are you learning? What are you hearing? What is your heart saying? What are the scriptures saying to you? What challenges has God put before you that He's calling you up into? What unresolved point of obedience maybe is He asking you to step into? Also, what are you learning about yourself? What are you learning about yourself? All this downtime, what to do? We have all heard of Isaac Newton, the English mathematician and physicist and astronomer. He attended Cambridge University, and the record shows that he was just a so-so student. He was, you know, a little bit undescript in his undergraduate studies, and he had planned to go back for his master's. But before he could get back, the Great Plague struck London. It was the great bubonic plague of England. And so Newton had to stay at home, and he had to study from home. Sound a little bit familiar? He had to do some home time, just like we are in our quarantine. So again, he had formerly been somewhat undistinguished in his college life. But then there's this big game changer that just kind of starts shifting just the patterns of life. And this is where some really get creative. This is where some really start to dig deep and to begin to dig wells and to come up with some real resourcing just out of just this time that we have on our hands. And he was a quarantined college students. So students, hear this. I encourage you to redeem the time. And this period was referred to as the Year of Wonders. And the plague only lasted 1 year, but Newton was quarantined for two. But in that quarantine, the juices began to flow. His creativity was stirred. The brilliance within him began to bubble up, and he began to conduct mathematical experiments, and new opportunities were thus created. 2 years in isolation, and out come his theories on calculus, out came his theory on optics, out came his theory on the laws of gravitation. And I mean, how cool is that? I mean, here in this quarantine, this brilliance just comes up out of him. And maybe if he hadn't been quarantined, I mean, who knows, maybe we would have all unwittingly stepped off our roof or a high place, and we wouldn't have broken the laws of gravity. We would have merely demonstrated them. But thank God for the value that he brought to bear due to being held up, and he got creative. Something good came out of the conflict, and something good came out of the crisis and the challenge. And if you'll remember last week, I said some good things are going to come out of this pandemic. Coronavirus is not going to win the day. Our God is going to win the day, but just look for those redemptive opportunities and look for those silver linings and just ask God, what am I to do with my time during these days? And so, question, might we get a little creative right now? Might we redeem the time that we're in right now? In conclusion, I heard the greatest story this past week. My 83-year-old mother-in-law, who lives in Georgia, they don't have the stay-at-home mandate, but she was thinking in this time, you know, what can I do? How can I redeem the time? And I just love this. So she copied off 30 copies of Psalm 91, and she got in her car and began to drive the neighborhood streets. And if she'd see someone on the curb or someone in the front yard, she'd call them over, and at an arm's distance, she would hand them that sheet that she had copied off of the promises of Psalm 91 and say, hey, you need to read this. I encourage you to read this and bolster your faith. She even saw a couple of men, thinking there were two, sitting on their porch, and it was four of them. And they got up off their porch and came down to the car, and she handed them that sheet she had printed out. And one of them said, I know you, you're Miss Muldrew. You taught me art 30 years ago. But she got creative in this time. And so there were neighbors that she had for 30 years that she had never really even had spoken to, that they never really knew one another. And so I think that when this stay-at-home ban lifts, how many of our neighbors do we actually know? I mean, how many of our neighbors do we actually talk with? And so again, when this ban lifts, or if you're just, you know, out and about, again, keep your social distancing. But I mean, do we even really know our neighbors? And like Isaac Newton, we might get creative and do something that really, really matters. And I believe that we can look at our community in a different way. We can look through the lens of God's heart, because God loves people. Jesus died for people. He's in the people business. So we encourage you to get creative in this time. I mean, view yourself maybe as the neighborhood chaplain. Just go ahead and self-ordain yourself as the neighborhood chaplain and get to know your neighbors as we are free to move about whenever that time comes. So in this season, we're praying for the plague to stop, yes, but we're doing more than that. We want to get our homes, our houses, and our lives in order. Those little gods we had, or those little idols that, you know, were at our fingertips, they're not there. And we want to reset and mark up to those nobler themes of what's really, really important, so we can reset. And in that reset are the priorities of what really matters. We want to focus on God. We want to focus on others we can help. And what mother of invention might come forth? Our necessity is the mother of invention. What product might we come forth with? What idea might spring forth in these days? But we start with, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray and would seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then God would hear from heaven, forgive our sin, and heal our land. Oh, that the land would be healed and would recover. So take advantage of this reset. Take inventory. What's important? What's an ultimate thing versus what's merely a good thing? So let's just pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity we have to create some new alignments and to create some new focus and to just ensure that in these days our house is in order, our walk with you is in good order, our marriages, our families, our relationships. And Lord, where we had many opportunities to kind of come and go before and be involved and so easily distracted, those distractions are gone. So Lord, we thank you now. Weighty matters remain. Eternal questions remain. And Lord, I just pray that we'd mark up on all those issues that are pertinent to your heart and need to be pertinent to our heart as well. So Lord, we just pray your kingdom come, your will be done in our lives, in our city, in our homes, in our nation, and in our nations of the world, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Okay, we're going to cut out just for a moment to hear a beautiful worship song from LaRon. And so after that, we'll come back and just share a few closing remarks.
Are you hurting and broken within? Overwhelmed by the weight of your sin, Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, leave behind your regrets and mistakes. Come today, there's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling. Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy. From the ashes a new life is born. Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was born with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was born with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, oh, what a Savior. Isn't he wonderful? Sing hallelujah. Christ is risen. Bow down before him, for he is Lord of all. He is Lord of all. Sing hallelujah, Christ is risen. Oh come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, Jesus Christ.
That was beautiful. Thank you so much, Laron, for that. And this is a time to come to the altar. This is a holy reset that we're in. This is a moment to get our lives in proper working order. God loves you so much. He's so for you. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whosoever would believe on Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. If you're out there today and you don't know the Lord, just call on Him and just say, God, I'm a sinner. I believe that Jesus did die for me, that He was raised from the dead. He's at the right hand of the Father. And I just confess my sin and ask you, Jesus, to come into my heart, to be my Savior, be my Lord, be my very best friend. So this is a time in this reset to put things in order. For those of you all that are giving to Kings Park Raleigh, we just want to encourage you to go to our website, kingsparkraleigh.com, and you can click on the giving link. Also, you can text KPR to 77977. And for those that give by check, we've emailed you that P.O. box number. So we love you. Get creative. You may not be the next one to discover the laws of gravity, but who knows? Maybe you will. But spiritually thinking, I believe God's going to drop divine inspired ideas. And like this Jeremy, this business leader in New York City, what might we do to give God something to work with? If my people. God bless you. We love you all.